Shalom Aleichem on behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Baba Metzia Samach Gimel, Baba Metzia 63A, pagination is 125. Starting from the top line, Tani Rav Oshia learnt, the following will be a brisa. On the topic of ribbis, there is conventional ribbis, which is interest, which is prohibited to be taken between Jews, where a person loans money to someone else, let's say $1,000, and the terms of the loan are such that he will pay back $1,000 plus $100. And that $100 is the interest, and that's where the prohibition is. There are cases in commerce as well, where people can make all kinds of deals, and there are considerations of ribbis present regarding these deals. And the Braisa follows through on a scenario where there would be a ribbis consideration, because when they swap commodities, it is possible that one commodity is going to go up, and it's going to change in value by the time he actually delivers it. And therefore, there would be ribbis unless it actually was purchased. We all understand that if I purchase wheat and then the wheat goes up, so then it's my wheat that went up in value. That's fine. But if I have money in someone's possession that they owe me, interesting way to word it, but the concept that he owes me money because of a loan, and then I transfer that abstract owed money to a commodity, also in the abstract, no one has any wheat, but we decided that it's going to have to pay me back $1,000 worth of wheat when he gets a hold of wheat. And the amount of the wheat that he's going to have to give me is based on what is wheat worth right now at $1,000. Then what results is that the price of wheat might go up, and for him to purchase the wheat so that he can deliver on the agreement is going to cost him more than $1,000. And when he delivers that wheat, he's delivering more than $1,000 worth of value. And since it was all in the abstract, I never owned any wheat, and he didn't own wheat to give me. He had to go out and purchase it, so that he is returning more than he borrowed. Let's see the case. Haresha Yanosha Bechaver Amone. A person had an ownership in his friend, abiding. He had money that was owed to him from his friend, money of 100. V'holach v'omar al gorno, and he went by the granary, v'omar, and he said, ten li ma'osai, give me my money, sh'ani rotza likach b'em chitim, because I want to go and buy wheat. V'omar lo, and this borrower says to him, Chitim yeshli, I have wheat. You don't have to get the money so that you can go out and get wheat. I'll transfer it to the wheat. I'll transfer your value. I'll consider it that you now own wheat. This, in today's market, is so obvious, where a person can swap commodities, stocks, mutual funds, etc. Shani nosin loch tseva asan alai kishar shal achshav, and since he has wheat, I'll just evaluate how much you owe, and based on that, you now own $1,000 worth of wheat. Higiyaz man chitim limkar. Now it's time for the wheat to be sold. A weeks later, months later, whatever it is. Amalo, and the man says, based on the seasons, now it's time to sell wheat. Ten lichitim, I want my wheat so that I can go out and sell it. Shani rotza lemochram velikach bem yayin. The next item in the cycle is wine. So I want my wheat so I could sell it and buy wine. Amalo, why trouble yourself? Yesh li yayin, I have wine. Shani nosin loch, I'll give it to you. Tseva asona like yeshar shal achshav, and they make an agreement based on the current prices. He's transferring his ownership from the wheat to the wine. Higiyaz man yayin limkor. Then it becomes time for the wine to be sold. V'amalaten liyeni, he says, give me my wine. Shani rotze lemochro, I want to sell it. V'likach by shemen, and buy oil. Amalo, and he says to him, shemen yeshli, I have oil. Shani nosin loch, I can give it to you. Tseva aseyo alakishar shal achshav, so go transfer it based on the current price. Kulam, the rule by all of this is, im yesh lo mutter. If he has the commodity, he can do it. Ein lo osser. But if he doesn't have the commodity, he cannot do it. What's the rationale? As we explained in the introduction, if he really has the commodity, so then the $1,000 that he would repay, he's instead transferring to the wheat, which he has, and now the person who lent the money owns wheat. He really does. Now, Rashi makes an observation. Afagav delo moshech, he didn't pull the wheat, he didn't lift the wheat. How does he come to own it? So when it goes up in value, which is the concern here, it should still be ribis because he doesn't really own it. He didn't pick it up. The answer is that because he's doing the transfer based on money that's owed to him, it has the status of a kinyan kesef. And it's at least the status of a misha pora, that if he would go back on the deal, it would be considered a violation of some level of significance. And therefore, it doesn't trouble us in the laws of ribis, because at least on some level, it really did belong to the one who lent the money. And that's enough that when it goes up in value, it's considered that it went up in value in his rishus. But to keep things basic, if the person who borrowed the money has this asset, he's transferring the money he owes, $1,000, into wheat. And then if the wheat indeed goes up, it's going up belonging to, in the possession of, the person who lent the money. As such, there's no ribis, because when I give him the wheat, or when I transfer its current value to the next commodity that he wants, if there is indeed more value in the wheat than the amount that I borrowed, it's because he owned the wheat at the time that it went up in value. But indeed, he only was given $1,000 worth of wheat, and from there, each commodity, as it goes up in value, is going up in the possession of the person who lent the money. Yashar koach, thank you for joining.